Welcome to this podcast from Adelaide Place Baptist Church. We are a community of disciples, apprentices of Jesus, who live and work in the city of Glasgow, and it's our vision to join God in the renewal of all things. Our discipleship to Jesus is for all of our lives, so as well as listening to this podcast, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning or get involved in one of our missional communities, which are across the city throughout the week. Our prayer is that you encounter Jesus in some way through this podcast. More information can be found at apbc.net.
Amen. Turn with me, if you've got a Bible, to Matthew chapter 11, the first book of the New Testament. And we're just going to read a couple of verses this morning as we gather around communion in a few minutes. It'll be on the screen behind me as well. Matthew 11, verse 28 says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I have a 2-year-old son, as lots of you will know, who I sometimes talk about a little bit. I quite like him. But he is, he's 2, he's running around, he's full of energy, he knows his own mind, and he knows that he is very cute, which means he gets away with quite a lot, to be completely honest. Don't tell his mum. But recently, I've realized just how much, when he has been independent and knowing his own mind and doing his thing, how much I love when he comes to me and says 2 simple words: "Daddy, help." I love it. But I possibly love it more when he doesn't come to me with any requests. He just comes, sort of tottles up a little bit sheepishly, climbs onto my knee and cuddles into me and sucks his thumb. Because he knows that he is safe on his dad's knee, that he can just rest there and be there. To be honest, not for long, because he's a 2-year-old and he runs around a lot. But he knows that he can come and just sit and be. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus here is inviting us. The invitation is to you and to me to come. He says, "Come, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace," is how someone translated that. Do you know this morning, if you follow Jesus, that that is something that's available to you, that you can come to him and rest? Have you forgotten some of the unforced rhythms of grace? I'm fascinated by Jesus, I really am, that throughout the Gospels we see him, we read of him, displaying the power and the authority of God, showing compassion to people, the outcasts, people who need healing, people who are sick, people who are forgotten about by society. But he also takes time to sit at tables, to recline at tables, to spend time eating meals with people around about him, to inviting people in who really no one else in those days would have invited in. It's not actually, in my humble opinion, the most tactically sound thing to do. I mean, surely if you're Jesus, you've got about 3 years to get the message out. You want to be shouting about it from the rooftops, going here, there, and everywhere, no time to stop. McDonald's on the road, off we go. But Jesus stops. He takes time to listen to people, to have compassion on them. He takes time, John 21 tells us, to make breakfast for a bunch of fishermen who've been fishing all night. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace, the taking time to cook breakfast rhythms, the slowing down in your everyday life to allow the grace rhythms of Jesus to break in to wherever you're at. Maybe for you it's about inviting people into around your dinner table, about taking the time to listen to other people and showing them something of the goodness and the love of God that you've experienced. Many of you do that already and are role models in doing that for lots of us. So we read here of rest, and growing up, I grew up in church, and I think I often thought of rest as just that image of Noah coming and sitting on my knee, of kind of taking a breath, of collapsing onto the sofa, if you like, at the end of a long week, just ready to be tired. And I think there is a bit of that. Jesus welcomes us to come as we are, to put our feet up. But I think in my 28 years, I've begun to realize something of the fact that Jesus invites us to rest the weight of our life on him. Not just to find rest in him, but to rest our troubles and our anxiety and our passions and our excitement and our thrills in life as well. He doesn't expect us to carry a lot of what we carry. He doesn't ask us to either. Later in the New Testament, in one of the Apostle Peter's letters, he writes a simple verse which just says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. The creator of the universe, the Lord of all, the one who is sovereign, came close and said, cast your cares, cast your anxieties on me because I care for you. I care about the little things that worry you in your life. Noah, again, for some reason, at the moment, loves to pick up bags. It's a little bit weird. He sort of walks out the room and says he's off to work with a shopping bag on his arm. He'll try to pick up my bag, which is quite humorous, with my laptop or whatever's in it. And it's obviously too heavy for him. And clearly, as his dad, I don't expect him or want him to carry that around as we go to the train or walk to the shops or something. Although it would be funny, it's just a bit harsh. But I can carry the weight of it. I can take the slightly heavier thing. One day, I'm sure he'll be carrying me around and lifting me up. But he can carry that weight. I don't expect him to take something that's too heavy for him to bear. And in a similar way, I don't think Jesus, in a much bigger way, Jesus doesn't expect us to carry a lot of the things we pick up. We lay down at his feet and then we pick up again. So come today, Jesus says, come and I will give you rest. Rest your weight on me. He doesn't say, don't worry, I'll take it all and you just sit back and relax and watch me do the work or just sort of roll through life. Everything's going to be easy from now on. He doesn't say that. He says, come and walk beside me. Walk at my pace. The original farming example he used was of a yoke, a metal rod that went between the two ox so that they would walk together, walk in step with each other. And there was laws about it that said that a weaker, younger ox couldn't be yoked to an older one, because it would be under so much strain and pressure, it wouldn't be able to take it after a while. And in the same way, it would run off all excited and then run out of steam. But Jesus says, come and walk at my pace. Walk with my yoke on you. It is easy. You don't have to bear those burdens. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that life is all easy and with Jesus everything is okay because you're walking at his pace and it's all roses. And it certainly wasn't graceful or restful last night with Noah sitting in out of hours GP. Tell you that, the two-year-old. Ask him about his thumb later if you want to know. He'll very proudly show you. Life happens, but Jesus promises to be with us in that life, to bring his rest to the troubles, to the heartache, to the loss. And to say, come on, let's do this together. Let me take the weight. So how might you begin to, or continue to, for many of us, building in those rhythms and practices, the practical things that you can do every day, every week, that refocus our attention on Jesus, that remind ourselves of his love, things which force us to stop, to respond to his invitation again and again throughout the day, and also to invite others to come around our life to share in the goodness that God has shown to us. How we need things that remind us that life is so much more than just getting through a to-do list every day. I was busy during the day yesterday. I'm a big rugby fan, and I was trying to avoid the scores all day. And it's really hard, I discovered. There are multiple news channels trying to alert me every point that's scored. There are people on different messaging platforms trying to tell me Scotland are losing or Scotland are winning, just English fans doing that. But it's really hard. It's things grabbing our attention, vying for our attention all the time. It's so hard just to have a moment of quiet. One thing I've begun finding really helpful is literally having moments of silence in the day. I'm not very good at it. But having times where there's no noise, there's no distraction. And actually, I've found it really helpful that I don't even do anything. The temptation, if you've been around church long enough, is to I need to pray through my list of people to pray for. That's a good thing to do, don't get me wrong. But just be in the presence of God. Allow the things, the babble in your minds, the things that are on your to-do list, whatever it is, to settle and become aware of his presence, which is closer than our very breath. So, what better place to do this today than around the table of Jesus, around communion, where we are reminded that God chose to reveal his love to us in Jesus. That he chose not only to come near, but to give everything, to sacrifice his very life, and to remind ourselves that he rose again, that he's made it possible to know God, and that the same power that lives in Jesus lives in us if we choose to follow him today. So how are you responding to the invitation of Jesus today? Is God asking you maybe to lay some things down that you don't need to carry anymore, that are just weighing heavy on your mind? They feel like a physical weight. He says, come to me. Let me take the burden. I will give you rest. Walk with me at my pace. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Or maybe Jesus is inviting you into something new, to start something new, to take a step of faith. And again, he promises to be with us, to lead us at his pace. Are we willing to walk with him when things don't seem clear? When it would be easier actually to just stay where we are. But we know that it's not all God has for us. We know it's not the purpose he's created us for. Walking in step with him. Or maybe the invitation is to explore life with Jesus. Maybe you're not really sure, or you've been following Jesus and you've stopped. You've stopped trying to live for him. Perhaps the invitation is just to come and see. Come and see what he does, what he's done, the love he's shown to other people around you, how he's revealed himself through the Bible. And then lastly, maybe there's that call to invite other people are literally around your table, to take time to slow down, to stop, to listen to them. The table is such an incredible leveler where everyone needs the food on the table to sustain them for that day. There's no hierarchy. There's no, this is my turf, this is your turf. Invite people around your table and pray for them as they come. Invite people who don't know Jesus yet. Show them the welcome of God in a simple meal. Make that a habit of your week. We all have to eat at some point. Why not do it with other people? So everyone is invited to this table, this simple table that Jesus asked his followers to share together, to share as a family, and to remember him until he comes again. Karl Barth, the great 19th century Swiss pastor and author and theologian, said this: Holy Communion is offered to all, as surely as the living Jesus Christ is for all, as surely as all of us are not divided in him, but belong together as brothers and sisters, all of us poor sinners, all of us rich through his mercy. This is a table of inclusion where Jesus invites us to come and lay down our struggles, the things we know that we do that are wrong, invites us to come and find real rest, to lay things down at his cross, that they might die with him and stay dead. But we also remember that Jesus was raised to life again. We celebrate that at the table too. So come to this table not because you must, not because there's pressure, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because we know that we are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because we all need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and you long to love him more. Come first because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray together. And let's maybe just take some silence together. Some of you will really, really hate this. You can talk some more later. You can have extra talking time. But some of us just need to be quiet before God, to recognize his presence amongst us.